Amen. Thank you all so much for leading us so well this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we continue, today, thank you for coming out. We also encourage those who couldn't make it to join online. We are very aware of how dangerous the weather is in different places. And we thank God that we are all together. Amen. God is good. Amen. Before we go into the word this morning, I just want to remind us of a prophetic word that the Lord spoke during his time. This is in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 12, from verse 54 to 56. Amen? You can hear me well? Okay. 54 to 56. And what Jesus was saying here was, for many, many years, Israel, the children of Israel, has been the custodians of the Word of God, of the message of God, of the truths of God's Word. And so God trusted them. Through them came the priests, the prophets, the kings, and the patterns of the things of God. So through the prophets, God started speaking to them for many, many generations about the coming of the Messiah. He spoke to them and spoke to them and spoke to them. And today is written, these prophecies are written, what we call in the book of the prophets. And there were some other prophets that spoke, like Moses saw things, David saw things through the book of Psalms, and through the word, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. They are all prophetic, speaking about the coming of the Messiah. So the last prophet was Malachi. And from the time of Malachi to the time that Jesus was born was about the space of 400 years. And during that space of time, it was called a very dark time. There was no prophetic voice. Everything was dark. The Romans were ruling. So, suddenly, as we remember during the Christmas season, this season came for this prophetic word to begin to manifest about the Messiah coming. So finally, he was born. He lived 30 years in preparation. Nobody knew who he was other than he was a carpenter's son. Mary knew and some others. He grew up, trained, prepared for this assignment he was called by God. And then he stepped into the ministry and he was anointed. And for the next 3 years plus, he served his purpose on earth. He died, was crucified, and rose again. Now, during his ministry in Luke chapter 12, he said something to his generation, to the people that were listening to him and to people of his time. What he was about to tell them, he knew that they will only understand it better if he uses what they know, what they can relate to. So he used the weather channel of that day. So he said to them, you can read it, you know, when you get home, but I'm just saying the scripture. So in 54, he says, when you see the cloud form from the south, you say and you know it's going to rain. He said, when you see the wind, verse 56, blow from the north, you know it's going to be summer, hot weather. He says, now you know how to discern natural weathers. How is it now that you cannot discern this time? What was he saying? For all these thousands of years, they had the Bible of their time, the Torah, telling them Messiah is coming. And they had the prophets telling them, there are Psalms telling them that Messiah is coming and he will come to you. Suddenly, the Messiah was there in their midst. For 3 years, the Bible says they did not know him. So he was telling them, how is it that you have the weather channel telling you hurricane is coming? This is going to come from here. Tornado is coming. All this. And when they tell you it's coming, you prepare for it because you know they are saying the truth. Snow is coming. You know they are saying the truth. He said, how is it that if you understand natural things and you respond to it and prepare for it, how is it that spiritually you have been trusted with spiritual reality for the whole world? And now the purpose for which God raised you up to let the rest of the world know that the Messiah is coming, he has come and you don't know he's here. Luke chapter 12, 54 to 56. You ask yourself, that's not possible. How can it be? It's not possible. Very soon we're going to look at the word of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. History is a cycle of events. Repeat themselves. Our prayer is, God, don't let me miss you. Amen. Let me be among those that prepare in my generation. The reason I said that is why history repeats itself is because Jesus said this and also went further to tell them. He says, you know, okay, I'm talking about, I'm here now, you don't know I'm here. You say, okay, has it happened before? Then he told them another parable in Luke 21, Matthew 24. He said, you're asking me for the signs of the future and what is to come. I want to let you know that I'm going to come again. But there are some things that will happen before I come again. And just like people don't recognize that I'm here and they missed it, so will that time come. Many will not watch, and these things will come upon them unawares. Says, like the days of Noah, they were told for 100 years that storm was coming, something is going to happen, flood was coming. But because they did not see rain, they never seen a dew, they've never known anything like that. While this person, Noah, was preparing, he became a laughing stock. Because he was preparing. So for 100 years more, Noah used the ark as a message. Says he was a preacher of righteousness. They did not listen. In Noah's time, only 8 people survived what happened. Because of 8 people, we are here today. You say, yeah, what happened again? He said, like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is Jesus telling them, because history repeats itself. He said, like the days of Sodom, they were eating, they were drinking, they had the warnings, but it came and they did not know, and they were destroyed. And you can talk about Joseph and so many. So the reason I'm saying this, is Mount Zion is not just a church, it's a prophetic house. Amen. People have been warned over and over, but I wept and I weep because the signs are glittering all over the world, all over the nations. Clear shift in every nation. The recent shift is taking place in China. Things are happening. The world is positioning themselves. And people in the church that are wise are also preparing themselves. Because suddenly, the Bible says, those that are not prepared will be taken unawares. So I just want to say that as a reminder that what we see with politics, what we see with wars, what we see with economy, what we see everywhere is always looking normal. But there are so many things happening now that is not normal. And even what we see with the weather. I want to encourage us to know that whenever there is a turbulence, people prepare ahead for it. You better rehearse how to honor God in seasons like this. Prepare yourself. It's all warnings. And I know you'll be prepared because you are wise. So, having said that, just God gave us a word this year that will help guide us, help us win battles, help us walk in victory, help us find our healings, our miracles, help us for God to truly be our GPS. And that word is worship. Worship. By the way, I just want to thank Abby, thank you so much for the so much you do behind the scene. Thank you. And all our media people, thank you. Worship. We've been talking about it, so we finished that part. So we want to go into the first of these words, these acronyms. We have worship means the word of God. We have O meaning obedience and ordain for destiny. We have R meaning redemption, and then we have S for sonship, we have H, you know, for heirs of God, we have I for inheritance, and P for the presence of God that makes all this happen. By the time we're done with this, I believe we'll have a comprehensive understanding of the Bible. And by God's grace, no one will be left without a testimony this year. Because this is empowerment. Amen? It's a breakthrough for us. So today we finished. You know, there's no way we can cover everything about worship. We're going to keep, you know, that's our lifestyle. That's our calling in Mount Zion. We're going to look at, when we get to O, we're going to look at some practical aspects of how we worship. What you know, things, O, it has a lot to do with obedience, applications. Amen? But now we are going to look at W, the Word of God. So if you don't mind, you can open with me to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. We're going to stay on the Word of God for a while as the Lord leads us, but today we are introducing that process. John, chapter 1. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Amen. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All, not some, all things were made by him. That's the word. And without the word was not anything made that was made. When you see him, the word, in him, that's in the word, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. So we jump. Okay, by the way, you see what I was saying earlier. Verse 11 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, that's the word, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, that's flesh and blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. And the word was what? Made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Let's just quickly read. Open to chapter 3. We read from verse 16, chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his word, his Son, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Verse 18. He that believeth on him, that's the word. Always remember him, the word, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is what? Condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, verse 19, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds shall be exposed. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deed may be manifest, that they are wrought of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. So, in introduction, we would have started from the Old Testament. But John, the one that wrote the book of Revelation, had a very deep relationship with Jesus, with God. So he started his gospel with introduction of who God is. And who God manifested to be in the flesh and then went deep into how his works and relationship. So from what we read, it speaks for itself. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Amen? And the Word was God. So, let's stop there. Just to understand that aspect of the Word, let's open quickly to 1 John. 1 John, let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 John. While you hold your Bibles in John, if you go to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, just where we are, where you hold your marker in John 1. John chapter 5, we read from verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the what? The Word. You put the Son there, the Word. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Let's go back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So there are three, 1 John 5, 7 says, there are three in heaven that are one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Now, if you read John 1, 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? As many as received the Son of God. So, is the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. So now, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, the Word is the Son. And is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Word, Holy Spirit. So, still in chapter 1, he said, there was nothing made that was made without the Word. So, here is it. I want you to follow this, because today we are doing introduction. We are going to find out with time why people don't read the Word. That's the smartest trick of the enemy, because he knows what the Word is. So, in the beginning, God says, let us, Genesis, let us make us. You can read it for time. So what did they do? So the Father speaks the Word. The Holy Spirit manifests. He said, the Spirit of God was moving over the earth. And God said, when he said, let there be light, let there be, he made it happen. So let us. So that's why I say there was nothing made that was made without the three of them, without the Word. Father, Word, and Spirit. Amen? Now, when in Genesis chapter 6, they said, Father, let us make man in our own image. Only man in our own image. Every other thing has been created. Animals, trees, and they all have their DNAs. But he said, let's make man in the image of God. In other words, they will have the same image with God. We'll see that. And they said, and God made man in his own image out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into man, and it became a living soul. Amen? And when that happened, you know, when God speaks, he speaks life. He speaks a finished work. He spoke to the dust and everything God has in mind manifested. Adam became a living soul when God breathed into him. He had brains. He had blood. He had every vital organ and started functioning. And God gave Adam oversight over everything he's created. That was man. Now listen quickly. So God said, now that we have made man in our own image, in the image of God, God now has to trust man with himself. Remember. So what happened? God said, Adam, I have made everything. All this is yours. But I want to show you something. There's this tree here of good, the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat the fruit of it. Don't eat it. Amen? Because God knows what it is. One day, if we have time, I will explain all that mystery to you. Satan and us, how Satan fell from heaven and other stuff. Now, so don't eat it. What happened? God has given Adam power, dominion, everything you can imagine, and spoke authority and dominion, the first rulers of the earth. The man that will bring the rest of the bloodline into the whole universe. And whatever God spoke was righteous. Adam was in the glory and presence of God, and they were naked without knowing. They were clothed by God's presence. What happened? Adam, beginning with Eve, found a serpent from that tree. And the serpent, that Satan, of course, took over that animal and started deceiving them and deceiving and deceiving. And we're not going into the details. There's a point we're going somewhere with the Word of God. Start playing with their minds and kept. Suddenly, they ate. The God said to Adam, you disobeyed me. Amen? You disobeyed me. What does that mean? And we're going to look into details in O. Disobedience is when you take the word of God, which is God, and you do your own thing. That's exactly what Satan did in God's presence. The spirit of disobedience is what we call sin, fall. What does that mean? So when Adam did that, we call it fall, we call it sin. Three things happened. And the only reason I'm going back to this, because we said it during Christmas, is because we are now about to look at what the Word of God is. Three things happened. Major, other things. But three major things happened that came through disobedience. Three major things. One, the devil became prominent. Darkness and death. Three D's. The devil, what we call devil today, Satan, others. Three. Darkness and death. The wages of sin is dead. Delivered us from the powers of darkness to light. The devil, Satan, like a roaring lion, King God of this world. So these three major things now is being inherited in the bloodline of the first Adam. So as soon as they became naked, these three things started functioning. Death came, separation from God. Darkness came, they cannot see spiritual light anymore. And the devil, of course, is the God of this world. So these three things started functioning in different capacity. The only way for the Word of God, for God to reign and to rule, is to restore all things. Amen? So God now came. That's what we read. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Amen? John 1:14, we just read it. He now became flesh and blood. He was not born by Adam's seed. He was born by a virgin for a reason. He was born by the Word of God. Amen. Amen? Amen? He was born by the Word of God. But to have flesh and blood, he came through a woman, a virgin. Okay. So now he's born, he's raised up. So now we understand better who is Jesus. Amen? He is not just another religion. He's not a Hindu religion or Islamic religion or this religion. No, he is God manifested in the flesh, the Word of God. He says the spirit of Antichrist is any spirit that says Jesus did not come in the flesh. It's Antichrist spirit. So, having said this, he was made flesh. So let's open to, I'm really taking this slowly because many of us have been in church. There are some foundational things we need to understand. Because after this, when we get to sonship, rulership, redemption, let's open to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I want us to see verse 45, just because of verse 45 says. 1 Corinthians 15 says, and it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. This last Adam was made a quickening, a living spirit. So, what is that saying? I want you to see things now. First, the first Adam is who we just described that fell, isn't it? And that Adam carried a bloodline. That bloodline has now been polluted by sin. That's why everyone, David said, in sin was I conceived. You know, okay, polluted by sin. So now, everyone from Adam carries that bloodline, born of flesh and blood. Not of those born of the will of the flesh, or flesh and blood, or the will of man. All those came out of Adam's blood. He says the only people that will be called the sons of God are those born of God. Isn't it? Okay. So follow this. Adam was the first Adam. Through Adam's bloodline, every one of us has been born flesh and blood. Amen? And because that blood is contaminated, Satan can do anything he wants. That's why people are born. There are people that came into this world in different ways because of sin. There are people that come, they will say, I'm poor. Some will say, I'm rich because I was born a certain way. Some go to, so it's like things are not equal. The reason Jesus came is to make everybody have the same thing. It just depends on you to use it. There is nobody born again that's anything special. Jesus is all you need. So, that bloodline brings corruption. So that's why we have all kinds of things we have in the world because of that bloodline and Satan. Jesus came to correct everything, to rectify everything. So, this brings me to three L's. Three M-N-O-P, what is it? L? L? Am I saying it right? L. Okay, I talked about three D's. The devil rules the world. Those that are not saved. Darkness is in the world. Death, the wages of sin. God brings three things. One, Jesus came to bring liberty. Amen. From darkness to light. Freedom, deliverance. Number one, from the devil. Two, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing that was made of, and the Word is life. Amen. Life. Where Satan brought sin, brought death, the Word came to bring life. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus gives. Amen? Amen. It's not life that is limited to flesh and blood. He says, everlasting life. It cannot expire. Everything Adam brought has expiration date. Everlasting life. Then the next three, liberty, life, and light. Darkness. What does this mean? All this is, we're talking about the Word of God. So let's look at it. A simple demonstration. This is first Adam. Everything that he brought was the devil, darkness, and death. And that's what is ruling the world. It's called the first Adam. Amen? The bloodline. Our fingers are not equal in this system. The second Adam came. It says, because God already prepared him from the foundations of the world, the lamb slain. The second Adam came, Andrew, to destroy sin and the results of sin. Not only to destroy it, but to translate us into a new bloodline. And in this bloodline, you have freedom He said, who the Son sets free. Okay? In this bloodline, you will see those things I mentioned. We're going to look at what all those things under the bloodline. In this bloodline is life. Amen. The life of the flesh is the blood. It's life. The blood of the Lamb. Life. In this bloodline Jesus came to bring, this second Adam is light. Father, I pray that you will help us to see you, Jesus. High and lifted up. Open our understanding to know what it means to be born again. And help us to experience transformation. In Jesus' name. Amen. What does it mean Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil? So we just laid the foundation. But let us quickly, before we leave John chapter 1, because this is our starting point on the Word of God. Before we leave chapter 1, first Adam, second Adam. So listen to this. First Adam is the systems, the culture, the characteristics, and the world where the words of men is very frail. Even he said, you can't even put your trust in a king in this system. Because kings have tried to save people in the past. He's manipulated and he himself gets afraid because his man couldn't save you. You can't put your trust in kings, in this system, in anything, because the devil runs it. So I want you to see the foundation for the Word of God. Foundation. Before you can even begin to accept this introduction, you have to be born again. But for you to be born again, you have to hear the truth. You have to hear the Word of God. And that's what I'm sharing with you. And then when you hear the Word of God, something happens to you when you get born again. Why is it important to be born again? And when you're born again, what happens to you? Jesus says, except you're born again, you will still continue to live on the understanding of this realm of life. Everything you do is based on what this system is adopted to be. This culture, this system. Then when you get born again, he says, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Because when Adam and Eve fell here, they became blind, even though they have natural eyes. Spiritual things are not real. But they exist, but you can't understand that. The spiritual world is ruling you because you're blind. So here, you get born again. Except a man is born again, he cannot see. The reason you're here today is something happened, and now you believe God reigns. Before I got saved, I don't believe any of this. I was limited to that realm. I knew there's devil, there's God, but I was blind. Now I can see. So except you're born again, first, you can't see. So my brothers and sisters, the moment you're here, when you're born again, something happens inside of you. Let me tell you what happens inside of you. For the first time, you are translated. Both outside and inside, you're translated from darkness to light. You are translated. There's a shift that takes place inside of you. You're translated to light. The first level of liberty, deliverance from powers of darkness to the king. And then you go from death to life. That internal life, you're born again. But when you're born again, you are like a child. Just like a physical child. So my brothers and sisters, what does it mean you cannot see? Now you're born again, you can see. My brothers and sisters, Jesus never came to manifest anything other than to reveal the kingdom of God. Every message Jesus preached, the foundation was the church and the kingdom. What does that mean? The kingdom of this world, the systems of this world, dominate this world. The moment you're born again, all these translations that takes place inside of us, we just got born, we just opened our eyes, we just came out of darkness, we just entered a kingdom, a new kingdom called the kingdom of God. The moment you come into this kingdom, you come like a newborn baby. Amen? It's a newborn baby, isn't it? When you come into this kingdom as a newborn baby, you came in, all your mind, all your culture, your everything you've learned in this world is still in your brain. Huh? You can see me, isn't it? Everything you see here is from the first Adam. The thinking of the world, the systems of the world, the bloodline of the world, everything about it, the eating systems of the world, the food, the drinking, everything is all tailored towards this world, for this world, and in the system, but it's polluted, isn't it? The reason he says we have to be born again is because this cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So when we are born again, you are born into a kingdom that you cannot see with your eyes. Is a spiritual kingdom. There is only way to see this kingdom is by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to say you're a believer. You can't be a believer because what we call unbelief is you base your whole life on what you see and what you can do humanly. This kingdom, Hebrews 11 says, everyone that operates in this kingdom has to be by faith. Faith simply means, bottom line faith means is you live by the standard of God. His word. The kingdom of God is built only on one foundation. Jesus. Without faith, you can't believe this. The world cannot believe this. The world cannot receive this. I was in the world. I was a sinner. This thing, I didn't have anything. It exposed my darkness. It wasn't real to me because I wasn't born again. There are people there in the world today is not born, but there are still people in church that are still unbelievers because they are still not believing this. Let me tell you what. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The kingdom of God is built on Father, Son, Holy Spirit. the Lord led us through what I led you through to make it clear the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Word, and Holy Spirit. They are one. If you're born again, for you to be like Him, you have to know Him. For you to know Him, you have to read about Him. You have to... The Holy Spirit does not work on what we carry from the world. The Holy Spirit only agrees with this. As we conclude today, because this is introduction, you'll find out why we are struggling so much. I struggled. This is the word of God. Amen? Let's close and look at just two things on the word today. Because this is all about two things. Number one, you can quote it off head. It says, let me read it for you. Let's open to Psalms chapter 1. Please, let's open to Psalms chapter 1. And also you can open to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Just to give an idea of the word of God. Psalms 1. He said, blessed is the man, the woman, who walks not in the counsel of this world system. You don't base your life on the counsel of this world, called ungodly. Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of discomfort. But your delight is in the word of the Lord. Listen to what he said. And in the word, you meditate day and what? Kai. Amen. He says, God is not lying. He's saying the truth. He says here, you meditate on it day and night. And he says, you shall be like a tree. He used an illustration. That is planted by the rivers of waters, that brings forth its fruit in its season, and its leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, he will prosper. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. The word of God. This was what David was saying about the power of the word. Say you are like a tree planted. What does it mean like you are a tree planted? He said because you meditate. What does it mean meditate? Remember my brothers and sisters, just using natural illustration. We are Adam. This is Adam. Huh? The first Adam. Sand, isn't it? If I don't eat twice a day, what happens to my body? I'll be hungry. If I don't eat twice a day for a few days, I will get malnourished. The problem about getting malnourished is not looking lean, it's the nutrients you're not getting, what it does to your vitals on the inside. The outward is just the outward. It's the malnourishment that completely takes away your antibody systems. The things God has put in you that when you eat creates resistance to disease and pressure of life. Once those things are broken because you're not malnourished, you cannot stand the weather of the system. The same thing spiritually. We are trying to fight, do Christian life without eating the word. Our systems on the inside is not. so much brokenness. There's so much devastation. There's so much inside. Only the word of God can heal and restore. But you have to eat it like the doctor says to you, take this medicine twice a day for 1 month. For this body, you do it. God is saying to you, the creator, eat this thing twice a day and see what happens. And the devil say, 24 hours. If you want, I'll give you 25 hours, but don't, I have to keep you busy. When I got saved, it's the mercy of God. I don't know. But I've been a Catholic. I've been a religious person. I've followed people to church. I've visited, you know, Catholic church in Nigeria. I follow people. I just go ceremony, all the things. But I was still a big sinner. I could go to church in Asia. I was sin. They would say, just come and confess your sins. And you go, you sin the same thing. You sin the same thing. You just keep going to confess. You can't break habits. Actually, you can go party, do everything, come back. The next day, the Reverend Father will pour water on you and you confess and you come back. You just live a sinner's life with a religious spirit. So I just left the church and backslid and became very worldly. When I encountered God, when Jesus now, I got born again, something in me became hungry. Something became thirsty. I lived when I just, when this first happened to me, I was wondering. I said, when I go, I said, am I crazy? Am I seeing what this, I was, where has this been all this while? I did not read this Bible twice a day. I read it almost every day more than 6 hours. I will leave there, I will go to pray. I'm not lying to you. Actually, I'm not telling you everything because some people think that's too much. I didn't know why. But suddenly as I was meditating, reading this word, I didn't know it was changing my mindset. It was reprogramming. Oh. I didn't know it was doing things in me. It was things I used to hold on to, things I was struggling. I didn't know when they were falling apart. My brothers, if God says this word can feed you and give you spiritual health, he's saying the truth. But you have to take his recommendation. Is better than any doctor. See, if he that eats this word twice a day. Daniel lived in the most demonic atmosphere anybody can live in. He lived in the midst of the best and the most dangerous witches, warlocks that were canceling Nebuchadnezzar. These people are powers, magicians. They were the depths of cabals. Daniel knew he was surrounded by darkness. And he says, if I'm going to live in this place, I'm going to establish light. Amen. And he spent time in God's presence 3 times a day. Regardless of how busy he was, he established such light that he ruled the atmosphere where darkness is. Amen. Listen, that was in the Old Testament. Yeah. I used to train intercessors across America. I found that a lot of people are not ready. There are a lot of people out there, but people just want to drink milk for 30 years. How many of you will have a child? It gets born today. Kiza is taking care of a baby now. That's why she's not here. They are not showing a baby that just came. That baby, after 6 months, a year, You got to be giving him milk. Today when we drink milk, I drank milk the other day, but it was with cereal. In the afternoon, I ate meat. If you give a baby milk, 2 years, milk, 3 years, that baby will be malnourished. Paul says there is a time the principles of foundation of the gospel can be translated. We can't start eating some meat. So that's why we're going through this series of worship. Because we want to look at the foundation. What is the word of God? Why are we not studying the word? The serpent doesn't want us to eat this thing. So, the three L's. Liberty. Liberty has levels. First, we get saved. But there are soulish things we need to be free from. There are baggages and bondages I came out from the world with. I came out with bondages, with baggages. If those things were not purged from me, I would not be a good Christian. And God knew that. And we'll touch all these soulish problems. So, that's liberty, levels. Who the Son set free, who the world... is continuously say, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What I'm preaching to you is not your Bible study. It's just an inspiration. You need to go home and say, this is life. This is medicine. This is change my. This is my orientation. So, when we liberty, life, in the word, and light. These three things that God brings to our life is what reveals the kingdom of God. Amen. My brothers and sisters, you are living as a born-again children, you are living in a different kingdom. Though you are in this world, you are not of this world. When situations in the physical realm overwhelms you, there is a kingdom that has a greater power to release you from the limitations that the devil is trying to do. That's why we pray. So today, we want to stop at, please remember this, we're continuing. There's so much to break down, but I want us to stop at this. That God said to David, when you eat this word, at least twice a day, you see what will happen. And then he said to Joshua, you're going to possess a promise. You're going to fight enemies. You're going to deal with darkness. You're going to inherit things. You're going to walk in inheritance. Meditate, eat this word. He said the same thing to Joshua. Day and night. Joshua, so that you will be able to walk in this word and to the same word, success in what you are going to do. Today, the Holy Spirit wants to begin to circumcise us afresh. To set us free and to bring us into a knowledge of Christ in a deeper way. This is what happens happened to me. And I never realized this is what it is. When I started reading the word, I started praying, I started meditating, I started praying. I thought, I just want to be honest with you, I thought, oh wait, this is what God says, I'm going to prosper, this is going to happen. This. When I started reading the word, I started praying, Psalms 23 became a reality. I never knew what Psalms 23 meant. The moment I started, I found out, first, Jesus becomes your shepherd. God begins, but he guides you to the still waters. I can't explain all that. Then he takes you to the shadow, to the valley of the shadow. The things you go through that you think, I'm going to die. The things you go through, you think, God, I just accepted this. I'm doing everything you want me to. I'm praying. Why? 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 God says, because flesh and blood cannot possess what I have for you. What I'm taking you through, Joseph, what I'm taking you through, David, is because I want you to walk in inheritance. I want you to walk in higher grounds where only my anointing can carry you. You go to the valley. You go to the shadow of death. Then God says, I will anoint your head with fresh oil. Why? Because you went through. And then not only will I anoint you, he says, I will prepare a table before you in the what? Present. What does that mean? You get to a place like Daniel, you're not afraid of darkness because you carry light. You're not afraid of because you're light. Then he says, he will assign angels to follow you. Psalms 91. And their names are goodness and mercy. Shall follow you all the days of your life. We'll look at all this. As we take communion this morning, my prayer is, let's renew our commitment. He has died. He paid the ultimate price. He was committed to the end. And he says, I have done my part. Now, you're in covenant with me. You need to be committed to my word. You need to be committed because you carry my blood. You need to carry that cross and be committed to me, to my word, to my promise. As we pray this morning, I want to ask you, just like the prayer we are in this season, as we take this communion, Paul says, don't take it casually. Take it understanding what you're committing to. For example, our prayer this season is to speak life. I feel change in the atmosphere of Mount Zion. Because less and less people are speaking evil and they are speaking life. Speak life. Speak good about people. Release life. Amen? Let's continue that. Let's give it another month and see what happens to your health, to your body. Let's make a commitment to read the word of God. To meditate, meaning chew. Let's make a commitment to spend time with Jesus. Alone. Alone. Let's make a commitment to believe the word of God. Let's ask him to help us to be faithful to him, to his word. That's where we are today. So, Father, your word is you. You died so that we can inherit your promises. Your word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. Your word, you sent your word to heal. You sent your word to deliver. Your word is promise that cannot fail us. Your word is life. Your word is our hope, the anchor of our soul. When our lives are tossed by the waves of things, your word makes us still and know you are God. Father, this is your word. And as we take this today, we are reminding ourselves of your promises, of your faithfulness. As we take this, Father, by your grace, I want to stay faithful to you, committed to your word, surrender to your word, and to your blood. Jesus, thank you. I give you all the praise. I thank you for your word healing our hearts, our soul, our minds. Thank you for your word transforming us. Let that which we have taken today as we eat your word, let there be a washing of the blood, a washing, a transformation, a change, a fresh appetite for you, a hunger to devour, to eat the buffet that comes from your presence. Receive the glory, receive the honor, for you are faithful. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can take it. Thank you, Father. We receive life through your blood. In Jesus' name.